Revelation 21. Y'all can sit down and open your Bibles and stick your feet up. Don't go to sleep now. Hey, hallelujah. There you go. Amen. Praise Jesus. I got a witness. I can take my coat off. Thank you. Woo. Amen. This has to be one of the most exciting teachings I did, and probably because I learned so much from it. And information for revelation. If it was just information for knowledge, it wouldn't be that much good to me, because you'd soon, my mind, it would be gone. But information for revelation, kind of, it sticks with you, because when you know what hope for the future is, and tonight we're going to see what your hope is tonight. This is going to tell you what you've been believing for, what you've been waiting for, what you've been praying for. This is the real life come down. This is all just a practice run. Did you know that? This is a practice run. This is all wood, hay, and stubble, and it's all going to burn up. There ain't nothing left. So you could say it's an illusion, because it's not going to be here. We're going to read about that tonight. And we're going to read about what really burns up into fire. So let's go to Revelation 21. Let's get into the Word. Amen. We're going to read a verse, then we're going to expound on it. I do better that way. And we'll go as far as we can. If not, I'll have to do a part two or a part B. But this really excited me, this teaching here. It says, and I saw, this is John talking, John the Revelator. He says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I want to just stop there just on the first verse. When I first looked at this, the new heaven and a new earth, but then the sea passed away. So let me just read on just a little bit more. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, verse 5, said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which is burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I believe there's none of those here. I believe this is the righteous here tonight. Amen. You are the righteous. I saw, verse 1, a new heaven and earth. The first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. Just a couple side notes. It stated here that the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. They are the result of a renovation. You ever do a renovation on a car or a home? Or something that you had, you just wanted to make it new. This is what God's doing. And we're going to learn, we're going to read on. It's going to bring it out again. And I just want to say ahead of time, this is not annihilation. It's a renovation. And when God renovates the earth, he cleanses it. He makes it like new. He doesn't dispose of it. Because when we read, if you read in 2 Peter 3:10, it says that, the fire, everything was burned up. But you'll learn tonight that not everything is burned up. It is cleansed, renewed. It is like we are renewed. When we got born again, we are new creatures. Did God do away with your old body? No. No, he renewed it. He strengthened it. He healed it. He made it new. And the same way with the earth. He's going to heal the earth, make it new, cleanse it. So when New Jerusalem come down, let me read on with the study notes. The fact that the renovation of the earth is very much misunderstood, the general conception is that the present heaven and earth will be completely annihilated or cease to exist, and that the new heavens and the new earth will take their places. But this is not the case. Understanding of this subject can be harmonized with other scriptures, as we will see. The renovation of the earth will be timed after the millennium and the casting of Satan into the lake of fire. And during the great white throne judgment in 2 Peter 3:7, the throne will come down to the new earth with the holy city and be with men forever. The present heaven and earth will not cease to exist. Said the present heaven and earth will not cease to exist or pass away completely. Many get that impression from reading 2 Peter 3:10, where it says, but a more careful observation of these passages will reflect some other views. According to 2 Peter 3:10, the present heaven and the earth will not be annihilated. The fire does not destroy them. Fire changes something from one state to another. And Peter is showing that there will simply be a renovation of the earth by fire. The earth will not be totally obliterated any more than it was with the destruction of the world by water. In the beginning, the renovation process will end the day of the Lord and begin the day of God. I said, the renovation process will end the day of the Lord and begin the day of God. In 2 Peter 3:10, it says the word in the Greek is translated passed away as perikemia, and it means to go by or away from, in a sense, from one condition to another. It is never used to indicate ceasing of existence. Now, I just want to stop there because it's coming up in me. And so it is when we go to funeral homes that a brother and sister has passed. They are not annihilated. That's right. They're changed. That's right. They went from one form to another form. Yeah. Amen? So they're, in essence, they're doing better than you are. Because you still got to release faith to stay here. Yeah. But it's only a separation. Now, what excited me about this, when heaven comes down, there's not going to be a separation no more. We're going to be with our God forever. That is the hope for the future to come. That is our promise when heaven comes down. So when I go to funeral homes, I kind of change what I think about them. And it comes to the mind when Pastor Jack asked me to do the one funeral, and I did one, you were there, and it was like almost like a rejoicing. Almost like, you know, an envy. Hey, you know, you're out of here. You get out of here first. You go to heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll stay here and continue to do the work and be cheered on by those saints. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But it's not annihilation. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 15:65, it'll tell you that he's even going to reunite your body in the grave. You are so powerful, the grave can't even hold you. The grave cannot hold you because it didn't hold our Lord and Savior, and it can't hold us. That's how powerful we are, church. Oh, man, you got to say amen about that. Well, I ain't going on. Amen. It can't hold us. That's how blessed you are and powerful you are. This is never used to indicate ceasing of existence. There are many instances where this is used. And at least 75 instances, it means such things are passing of time. Okay? Perikemia is a word used in reference to the infallibility of God's word, like showing that it is easier for a change in heaven and earth than it is to change God's word. Than it is easier for God's word to fail. Sorry. It is also used in reference of God's people passing by certain places. And in Luke 17, it refers to the coming of an individual. There are numerous other examples, but not one of them is used in reference to passing out of existence. So it is felt that 2 Peter 3:10 clearly means passing from one condition to another. Amen. And that's what it is. We'll go, Our death is like walking through that doorway. Open a door, go on the other side, you're with Jesus. There's no pain. There's no suffering. Amen? You walk through the door and you're with Jesus. That's how easy it is. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? Amen. So the earth is not going to die either. God's going to renovate it because he created it. He's not going to destroy something he created. And even the floods, even when he did the flood, he says, I'm going to destroy. He repented from making man. Even he saved a remnant then. He didn't destroy man. He started a new race. Or not a race, if race is not the right word. He started a new population of people that love him and knew him. Amen? So then there was a renovation of the earth then, and he's going to do it again. And while I'm on this subject, I just want to tell you this, that it kind of excited me because the new heaven and new earth coming down, it just reminded me of the Garden of Eden when God would come down and walk with Adam and Eve and talk with them every day. They were with their God. They seen him every day, and they loved on him, and he loved on them every day. And I thought, wow, this is what this is. We got back. He cleanses the earth, okay? And then now heaven's coming down, and it's going to set on earth. Let's talk some more. The verse 2 Peter speaks of elements melting with fervent heat. The word element is stoichion. I know how to pronounce that because I had to go in dictionary and get a pronunciation on my on my app. So I know. So praise Jesus. So it's stoichion means something, order, and arrangement. It's an element. It's a principle. It's a rudiment. It's like playing instruments. There's a rudiment. There's like singing. There's rudiments that you do. There's basic teaching that you do so that you could sing to support yourself, so you could play an instrument and play it right. It's rudiments that you learn in your Bible so that you could be a Christian like you're supposed to be and know the Word of God. That's what this is talking about. It's an element, principle, or a rudiment. It has to do with the foundation principles regarding the questions that are involved in Galatians 4, Colossians 2, and embraces the principles of sin in the present world system. It embodies sinful nature, disease, bad spirits, and corruption, and includes a part of the present bondage and corruption that must be destroyed. That's what we're talking about. When fervent heat and melting, that's what we're talking about. The word was translated melt, or L-U-O, meaning to loose, put off, unbind, untie, or set free. It is translated this way in several scriptures, and if you go and look at Matthew 21, Luke 19, it is rendered to dissolve. These passages certainly mean to establish that the present heaven and earth will be renovated by loosed from bondage, and they will be changed into new states. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I'm going down, so I'm going to skip something here. I'm going down to, in reference to 21:1, uses the word new. The Greek word for new is K-A-I-N-O-S, kinos. However you want to pronounce it. My Greek's not that good. And it means to be renewed or new. It carries the idea of freshness and character. It does not mean new in existence. The Greek word used in that sense is neos. A contrast between these two words is found in Matthew 9:17, where the word speaks of new wineskins and put in new bottles or renewed. The contrast can be the numerous other scriptures, but we conclude the expression new heaven and new earth. And 2 Peter 3:13 and Revelation 21 has reference to the present heaven and the earth being made new, that is, renewed and loosed from the old curse and its corresponding influence and efforts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more greedy men ruling over us. No more greedy men taking all the money so it doesn't even filter down as in countries and why they're poor. God provides. It's here. It's greedy men that doesn't let that money flow out and heal the nations. Amen. God has provided all that we need. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that all things are passed away, all things become new for the Christian. Yet we know that there are many basic physical aspects of an individual which are essentially the same. The Greek word used there is kinos, and it means to renew. This is the same idea as for the renewal of heaven and earth. At regeneration, the old order of things passes away. John was shown that there will be an innovation when the curse is removed and the new order is brought into reality, and this will in fact be a renovation, resulting in a new heaven and a new earth. Jerusalem, it will be a place of rejoicing, and her people will be full of joy. Jerusalem will be an eternal possession while still here on a new earth. And she will continue to exist. And as clearly stated in 2 Chronicles 33 and Jeremiah 17, there will be rejoicing for God and his people, and all the tears will be wiped away. Israel is assured that they will be an eternal earthly people in Isaiah 66. There is a promise that Israel's seed, which we are, and the name will remain forever. Skipping on down. The reference in 21:1 used the word new, the Greek word kinos, and it means to be renewed or new. It carries the idea of freshness and character. Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? You are renewed. You are new. And this is like Pastor Jack teaches here up here, and he said, you're healed because you are healed because you're renewed. You have to enforce it. Say, well, you know, Elder Bob, that's easier suggested than accomplished. No, it's not. You got to believe God. You got to believe God for the heavy pain. And you know what? It may not change, but you change. That's what change is at. The world wants you to change from the outside in. When you're a Christian, God wants you to change from the inside out. When you change from the inside out and you change your heart, then things on the outside start to change. Yeah. Amen? So that I want to go back and read. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Amen. Wow. You know, the most marvelous and glorious statement is made. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All things are removed. The sin and the curse are taken away from the human race. There'll be no more. The end result of the sin is death. The devil has caused both death and destruction, but the natural man in the future kingdom earth will experience the fulfillment. Fulfillment, full. Healed, delivered, set free, free of the curse. Conditions will be conducive only to the perfection and for the good of the new earth. And the race will be perpetuated without the difficulties caused by the devil. However, while human beings will not die in the new earth, and I'm not sure I agree with this in the study. I mean, maybe I don't understand it, so I'm really reluctant to read it, but I'm going to read it anyhow, throw it out to you. It also says that the animals will be sacrificed, thus meaning they will continue to die. I didn't understand it because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice as far as my teachings go. And I don't know why we would need sacrifices when new heaven comes down. Would you agree with that? Well, in this teaching, he says that there's going to be animals will die and will be sacrifices. I didn't quite get it. So you can do what you want with that. Amen? Second voice from God who sits on the throne, he declares, behold, I make all things new. And the word new here is Revelation 21 indicates that things will not be destroyed, but rather will be renewed. The promise is also given that those who thirst can drink of the fountain of life freely, and those who overcome will inherit all things. At the same time, those who are evil will have their part in the lake of fire burns with fire and brimstone. And this is a second death. Natural people will exist in a new heaven. When new heaven and earth comes down from generation to generation, natural people will exist. This is why you got to get it. You're special. You are so special. I don't even think you realize how special you are. When new heaven and new earth comes down, and then, Tim, remember the song we sing, let's come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. We'll be able to do that. Amen. We'll be able to go up and visit and talk with God. But there'll be peoples out there that are just normal people. I mean, They're going to have a sense of goodness and want to serve God, but we're going to teach them. There's going to be a world system here, but God's going to change it to where He is our God. He is our King. So there's going to be peoples here, but you're going to go out and you're going to govern and you're going to be the government of Christ on out in the world. Now it said the seas pass away, so there's no more sea. That is one of the changes that will take place. So you say, well, you know, that why is that? Well, because you're going to come to the mountain of the Lord and drink freely of the water of life. And if we get there tonight, there's actually 12 fountainheads on the four gates, four at each gate, that are flowing into the garden or into the new kingdom or into New Jerusalem. There's 12 fountainheads. They're flowing in. And each, so you could say, to make it easier for you, there's four roads on each gate, because there's four gates, north, south, east, and west, and there's four waterheads on the gate, and they're flowing in. Now, I don't know how God does it, but maybe it is shaped like a pyramid where from the top the water flows down like we believe, or maybe it's just because God said so, that those fountainheads flow. And when I talk about streets of gold, those streets are coming in to the Holy of Holies, to God, to his tabernacle. 12 roads are coming in, streets of gold. And each has a tree of life. Each has 12 fruits. Amen? So there would be 12 trees, 12 fruits, 12 seasons, 12 months. So when you say time stops, well, in essence, there is some form of time there. If they bloom every month, amen, with a new fruit, then in essence, there is some time there. And if he says we're going to be there 1,000 years, there is some marked time there. Amen? And after that, when we go and be with our Lord God, and this earth doesn't exist no more, then yeah, there is no time. We are with God. We are with our Father. But interestingly enough, there is 12 rivers flowing into the temple. And it is the water of life. We can drink freely, no charge. Nobody's coming in there. Nobody's coming into the gates to try to destroy that, try to poison that. No, that's not going to happen. Amen. There are three passages that speak of 1,000 generations, 1 Chronicles 16 and Psalm 105. This is a Hebrew expression meaning perpetual generations. And is stated in Genesis 9:12. The priesthood of Aaron and his seed are referred to as being eternal. I'm skipping right along on my notes. God has created all things and man. His highest creation was to have dominion over all the works of God's hands. And this would include the planets and the universe. It figures that man's full possessive rights would give access to this portion of God's creation in a future restoration. God's going to be the sun. I don't know what's going to happen to the sun. That's going to be another change. We're not going to have a sun because God's going to be our light. And it's going to illuminate the whole earth. Don't ask me how, because I don't know. But he's going to illuminate the whole earth. He's going to be our light. There'll be no more darkness. You hear what I said? No more darkness. It's going to be light. Amen? And you will be able to be up and alert and praising God and doing the works if you want to. Because there's no night. You don't have to rest. Come on. Amen. No being fatigued. Got to hurry up home Wednesday night and get in bed. No. We don't need to do that no more. Amen. No fatigue. Hallelujah. I wanted to get to the bride of Christ. That's Revelations 21:2. And there is some conjecture and some argument about the bride of Christ. So I may as well get this out of the way so when I read it, you know, we can get it out of the way. And I did not totally agree with the teaching that New Jerusalem was the bride of Christ, because my brain, I don't believe that God marries a city. I believe he marries the church. So John 17, I think down around, I wrote the verse down, but down around 21, 22, it says that, Father, we are in you, and they in me, and I got it back. Jesus said, they are in me, I in them, and Father, we are in you. That's how this goes. So now the church is not in New Jerusalem because we're here, but we will be when we're raptured out of here. We'll be with God. So I believe when the wedding's getting ready, it is the church. There's no feminine gender. It is we, the church. We are going to be his bride. Amen? So it means the church of God. So when New Jerusalem, when it talks about New Jerusalem being the bride, it means that the church is there. The church is with him. And if we're not raptured yet, then surely there are saints there. Amen? So, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you remember not so long back, I did a teaching on a wedding, a Jewish wedding, and how they prepare the bride, and how once the bride's prepared, and then they march her to be presented? Okay, you don't remember that. May have to do that again, because that was very significant in how we are going to be presented. We are being prepared. So, and not everybody wants to be prepared today in this day and age. But those that want to be prepared are going to be prepared as a bride. How is he going to prepare us? His holiness, his anointing, his faithfulness, his love in our hearts for him. We are being prepared. As a bride. Won't that be a glorious day when you face to face with Jesus?
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah.
My Jesus.
That's right.
Ah, my Jesus. Ah. Will you be awake then? Sure you will. Be excited. Amen?
Yeah.
And it says, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Angels do more than one thing. This was the angel that had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone of most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride for her husband, coming from God out of heaven. And it talks about references to this in Revelation 21, and I'm going to skip ahead because he talks about splitting the bride in New Jerusalem, and I don't really see that in my heart. I see us as one, and the oneness comes when we're married to him. We will be in him, and we will be with him. But I believe we are separated in a sense that we are not in New Jerusalem. We're not in the holy city, but when it calls his bride, that means we are there, and he unites. Amen. And if you want to read that, that's Revelation chapter 2, down 9 to 11. And I want to get to some things tonight, so I'm kind of going through this a little bit fast, so forgive me. There is a lot of information here. Of course, the New Jerusalem will contain the body of Christ, the saints of God, who will inhabit it. So obviously, there is a very close relationship between the two, but the more accurate rendering, New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. As Scripture plainly states, the bride of Christ is made up of all the saints throughout history, and not just a select few, or not only the saints of the New Testament. The passage points out to God as a source and origin of New Jerusalem, prepared by him, and it comes from heaven to earth to be eternal city. This dwelling place for God and his heavenly people. Notice, the city is prepared, which means it is ready and provided for, just as a bride is made ready for her husband. The New Jerusalem is made ready to be the abode of the heavenly saints. that the tabernacle of God may be located among earthly men forever. Jesus declared this in John 14. He was going to prepare a place for his saints. And it will be made up of many mansions, which means places of residence or abode. The word prepare does not mean that Christ is waiting for materials or there is a building process going on. The place has already been created and made. Amen? Okay, I'd like to go to Revelation 21:12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them 12 names of 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lies 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The angel used a golden reed to measure the city, the gates, and the wall. The measuring reed of this is about 12 and a half feet long, would be a reed. The city is 4 square. The length, breadth, height are equal, and all being 12,000 furlongs or 1,500 miles. You do the math. 1,000 furlongs equals 1,500 miles. Square. If this is understood to be a cube, it would appear to be hollow on the inside as an empty box. But that would make sense either because it has walls. So I'm not sure how they're cubing it out for 1,500 square miles. But we're learning here as we read on about the walls being, I think, 70 yards high around. Okay? 4 gates, north, south, east, and west. Okay? So we talked about the 4 heads of water coming in. It is understood to be a cube. It will appear to be hollow on the inside, an empty box, having 3,375,000 cubic miles, or it might be built like a modern skyscraper or a layered story. The description does not necessarily conclude that it is an actual cube. It could conceivably taper in the top and resemble, in a sense, a mountain peak or a pyramid. In that case, it will contain so many 4 square miles. The eternal location of New Jerusalem will be on earth. There are those who believe that it will be in midair, but reference to the foundations of the city would tend to discredit that theory. The descent from heaven is unlikely to stop short of reaching the earth. Also, the fact that the nations of men on earth will bring recognition, glory, and honor to it would certainly mean that it is located on the earth. The glory of God is reflected throughout the city and is likened to jasper stone. A beautiful light of radiant glory is seen throughout New Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that the Lamb is the light. Jesus Christ is the light of glory. The walls, the gates, the foundations. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates are 12 angels. Now that would mean 4 gates on each side, right? If it had 12 gates, it'd be 4 gates on each side. I mean, you'd have to have some type of thinking that when all the saints come home, you better have some gates. Right? Four sides. And it's 3 gates on each side. So there's 12 gates, right? Okay. Which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Thank you. On the east is 3 gates, on the north is 3 gates, on the south is 3 gates, and on the west is three gates, and the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and in the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and he that talked with me had the golden reed to measure that gates. Now, the reason why I went back and read that, because I think we look at heaven as just one big pearly gate, and it's not true. Here we just discovered there's 12 gates. Amen? Still staying awake?
Yeah.
Amen. 21:18. And the building of the wall, it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like under clear glass. Because when Danny taught this, when gold is pure, it's clear. There's no impurities in it. Well, this is like glass, pure gold. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was chalcedony. The fourth was emerald. The fifth is sardonyx. The sixth is sardius. And the seventh, crystallite. And the eighth, beryl. And the ninth, topaz. And the tenth, crystal. Someone help me. What's that? And the 11th was jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl.
Big oyster.
Big pearl.
Big oyster.
That's a big oyster. And the street of the city was pure gold. It was transparent glass. And in 21:22 it says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen?
Yep.
I think this is wonderful. There's, in 15 has reference to the heavenly tabernacle, proving that there will be a literal temple in New Jerusalem. Be Jesus. The idea conveyed here is that the personal presence of God and the Lamb will, in very real sense, be a sanctuary for God's people in the eternal state. And now when we go to 21:23, it talks about his light. And the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there shall be no night there, and there no need for a candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The light of the city is greater than the sun, moon, and stars. The brilliance of the glory of God, whose wondrous beauty defies description, surpasses even the sun, which will be increased sevenfold during the millennium. This city will have no need for the sun and moon, but the sun and moon will continue to shine for the sake of other parts of the earth, which I never read that. The dazzling light from the glory of God shining out from the transparent city of gold will be beyond our present description ability. And we're going to read in 24 here. I just want to get to 24, 26, 27. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. How about that? The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life will enter into the city. And then we will be discharged to take care that which is without the people, because those people is going to need, they're going to need taught.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
How's my time? 5. Okay. I want to do this real quick. This is this gets a little bit into Revelation 22. So if you go there, 22:2, we're winding down. I want you to hear this. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, were there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, thinking of that, you know, and there's going to be people without, but they're going to have to come in and eat of those leaves and eat of that tree of life. They're going to have to come in. And we just talked about no liar can enter in, you know, no one it defileth. So their heart's got to be right. Because if they don't eat, I don't believe they could live. That is what's going to give us eternal life, is the tree of life. So we have to partake of that. Wondered what them fruits would taste like, though. Yeah. Every month to get a different fruit. So they would have to go, come up to Zion. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. They would have to come in. Read it. The teaching of this passage seemed to be that in the middle of each of the 12 streets, on either side of the rivers, there are 12 trees of life. There are trees of life. It appears that these streets are 12 great broadways. Such a superhighway leading from the throne to the 12 gates. And there will be a river of living water flowing down the middle of each street. Do you get that? With the trees of life on either side. This would quite naturally mean that there will be 12 rivers as well as 12 streets, and not just one street, not one river, not one tree, but 12. It does refer to the nations eating of the tree, but the same language regarding the street singular is also used in reference with the river. Twelve streets, then it is likely that there are 12 rivers, for one river would not correspond with the rest of the scripture. The word for river is translated into plural, Revelation 8:10-16:4, and a plural word would be fountain. Each month, these trees of life will bear a different kind of fruit. There will not be 12 kinds of fruit produced 12 times during a year. Each of the 12 trees will not bear one particular fruit month after month. The leaves of the trees are also special, their purpose for being preservation of the natural life of the coming generations. This has nothing to do with healing, sickness, and pain, because those things are passed away, but it has a lot to do with long life or living to 1,000 generations or 1,000 years. The trees and the rivers will be distinct divine provisions for the pleasure of life of all peoples. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. His name shall be in their foreheads. This is the way Satan takes this and tries to counterfeit it on earth by putting his name on his people's forehead. That's why if they take the mark of the beast, they are not God's people. It's done. It's a done deal. But we get his name on our foreheads, because we belong to him. Amen. And I want to give you some enlightenment about heaven. And this was very exciting to me, because it straightens out a lot of questions. Amen. So, you know, we're going to eat of the fruits, the river of life. New Jerusalem's coming down. It's 1,500 miles square. And it is a real place. And when they say, come, let us go up the mountain of the Lord, that's what we're going to do. We're going to see our God, see our Lord God. Amen. Amen. That's what I have for you tonight, and I give what I had.